Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello everyone, and thanks for tuning in to episode 198 of GigPod. Bit of a disclaimer here, there might not be a lot of laughs on this episode, and it may even be as brief as possible, purely down to the selfishness of me, Stevie, as I'm still recovering from illness. But one man who is in even worse condition than myself, by default, is Rizzo, who joins me today from Molly Malone's. Hello, John.
Hello, Stevie. Hello, everybody. And let me just say, you're a legend and a hero for managing to do a pod for wonderful Molly Malone's, even though you're ill. What a legend you are.
It was a motto word you said to me. Christ, you're looking some, Nick.
Wasn't it that? Severe. You do look tired. I'll be kind and say you look tired.
I'm very fatigued, a bit like you when you're trying to edit a podcast, John.
In the good old days.
We're no longer real men, though. We're no drinking.
No, we're drinking soft drinks, would you believe? We'll, next time we'll be back in the hard stuff. And we'll be drinking alcohol as well. But, no, of course, we were meant to come here for the Ross County game, me and Dan, but we had to cancel. And
you were no well?
No, I had a technical mishap. I had to wait for my new phone to arrive and it didn't turn up. But of course, anyway, of course, Apple, who do, of course, Apple Podcasts, where everybody should like and subscribe to GigPod.
Very nice, John.
That was very good. Right, so, of course, we didn't do a pod after the Athletico game because you had the flu and I had the flu as well, but I'm a bit better than you.
Celtic made it worse.
They played, Celtic played a little bit of the floor. So we lost 6-0 and it was embarrassing.
Starting to wonder, you know, is it just me that gets embarrassed with Celtic in Europe with these type of results? Rhetorical question there, obviously it's not, but I do took it pretty badly. I remember the 7-0 defeat against Barcelona. In fact, well, the 6-1, I just thought was a one-off with Lenny in 2013, when I think Fraser Foster actually stopped it being like 10 or 11 that day.
That was a bad Celtic.
It was a poor Celtic, and we'll talk about that particular season soon, I'm sure. The 6-1, I just thought, you know, one off. Celtic could beat off up media 5-0, of course, and I just thought we're not going to see anything like that again. And
you won the double that season, the league and the League Cup.
And then, think about it, I guess football has just advanced, and the gap between the elite and Celtic, the gap just gets bigger and bigger to the point, as long as we're playing in Scotland, you know my feelings on it, John. I don't think that, and I know you really disagree, maybe that's another chat for another time, but I just can't see us ever competing in that Champions League. And that's not just woes me and Celtic can't do better. They can if they invest, but they choose not to, and that's just the way Celtic are always going to be, John. And as a result, look at the team that we put out, we couldn't get near Athletico Madrid. A lot of that was down to how we started, even before we went down to 10 men.
No, and of course, the other big story that came out of that game is Dyson's injury. He's out for, I think, between 4 and 6 weeks. So that's two of our biggest players out, him and Rio Hatate. We didn't miss him at the weekend, but I mean, we've got some big games coming up. December's going to be crazy with all the games we've got. Like, I think 10 games, maybe, something like that. I'm so lazy, I kind of will long it up. But how much
classic GigPod research?
Yeah, but how much do you think we're going to miss Dyson? Because I know he can be frustrating, but there's no another player like him in the squad that can like harass and harry opposition players like he does.
Right, he'll be a massive miss, especially in Europe. They're just going to be able to see the drop off when we play against Lazio. Even looking at the reason he gets sent off against Atletico is because they pinpointed him as a danger man after his performance in the first game against them at Celtic Park. He was terrific in that first half, ran out of steam in the second, but he still kept going. And I think that, you know, it was classic European cynicism, wasn't it? And you just knew that we fell right into the trap there. Do I think it was a red card? No, I don't. I think it was very weak. But in today's terms in UEFA, you're always going to run that risk, aren't you? And as soon as they freeze frame it, it's always going to make it look far worse than what it is. And by default, the ref is going to go with these bigger teams.
We've actually got 8 games in December, which isn't as many as I thought it was. We've got 2 in November, 1 in December, and 1 in January before the break.
Under Brendan, the first time it felt like we played like 10 or 11 games in December.
Yeah, we've got Motherwell at home and Lazio away in November, then alone in December, and the last game before the break is St Mirren away in the 2nd of January. So we'll talk about that, of course, more near the time. But let's talk about the game there on Sunday where we hammered hapless Aberdeen 6-0. Feeble Aberdeen, as they were called in BBC, the BBC Sports app. They don't usually say words like that after Rangers have gloried their way to victory, of course, but that's for another day.
I noticed the BBC really talked up Rangers and they win it at the Anthony Macaroni Stadium.
I see they get 2 penalties again. There's a shock. That's 2 league games, I think, in a row.
I'm going to faint, John.
Are 2 league games out of 3 of it 2 penalties? Are they get a penalty in the other game as well? And I get a penalty on this week. It's a penalty fest at Ibrox. But then, of course, a liar that I know said that the first penalty they got yesterday was a stone wall. So, less said about that liar, the better.
What team does that liar support?
Rangers, shockingly enough.
John, I'm going to faint again. Please hold me.
Although he did say that Aberdeen player that should have got sent off yesterday was an idiot. So
yeah, we'll talk about that later. You actually did a Rizzo Selecso, and yeah, it was, you said David Turnbull you expected to start as well as James Forrest, but in the end it turns out that Odin Holm, I'm not even going to use his middle name, his name is Odin Holm. I don't buy that stupid middle name, I really don't. I love Metal Gear and all that. That's like me saying my middle name was like Solid or Big Boss or something, and you was actually
you,
going a, you was going a long way and going, aye, okay Stephen, we'll call you that. Honestly, he's got to grow up. His name is Odin Holm, end of. But anyway, him and Yang started. It was the right team then, because Yang, what a stormer he had.
I thought Yang was brilliant, and I was surprised, because I did think it was a game made for Turnbull, because, no disrespect to him, but he does well against that level of opposition. He always scores, and he did score. In fact, we'll talk about that more later. Your prediction about that?
We just laughed, didn't we?
We did. I thought Forrest would start, because he's been in and around the squad recently. Yang hasn't started for a while. But obviously Brendan must have thought, we'll give Yang a go. I thought Yang was excellent, especially in the first half. I thought Holm really, can't judge him. Because, I mean, the midfield had a quiet day. Matt O'Reilly dominated. I thought Matt O'Reilly was brilliant, more than him in a wee bit. I mean, I suppose it worked, because I thought Yang had his best game for us. Holm, I don't know. I mean, he's no suspended in Europe anymore, so we can bring him back for Lazio. And then,
I don't think Brendan Wilder.
No, maybe no. We'll talk. There's a question about that in Ask Rizzo, which we'll talk about later. But I don't know, Yang. I mean, I thought he'd done that first goal. I know you want to talk about the part played by Roos, the hapless Aberdeen goalkeeper in it. But I thought it was a great cross by Brian De Palma, and I thought like Yang was right place, right time, head in the net.
It was crazy. I don't know what he was trying to do coming for that ball, but I do have to say a big shout out to Palma, because that's now twice in a row, and against Hibs he infuriated me, cutting in constant, and the boy Miller just read him like a book so easy. That said, that was against Ross County. He went down the left and clipped one in for Forrest with his left foot. Brilliant ball. Then yesterday for Yang, went past Devlin, terrorised him, shifted onto his left foot, and it was a good ball in. I still don't know what Roos was doing, but I think Yang deserves credit for keeping his eye on the ball and being instinctive to put it in like that. And also, John, will you want to maybe talk about that in a wee second? I wasn't at the game.
No, you weren't. You can tell the listeners why, if you won't.
I did not pass a fitness test.
No, that's right. And I was actually meant to ask you, when was the last time you missed a Celtic League game at home? If you weren't on holiday or something, I mean.
Thinking here. Being the super fan that I am.
I know, Mr. Celtic.
No, I can't even think.
You didn't miss any?
I don't think I missed any last season, no.
You didn't miss any? Oh, did you miss? Oh, no. You went to that one with me, didn't you? The Hearts game we won, me and you went to that one. The 4-1 game, game where you gave your ticket.
Well, I'm sure the listeners will be dying to hear more about me being a super fan. No, honestly, I can't think.
Well, you are going to miss, though, one of the derbies.
I'm going to
this
be
missing
one of the derbies because I'm a gentleman, yes.
Yes, you're giving me the ticket for that. Thank you, brother. What a legend you are, yeah, again. But no, so that was 1-0 after only 9 minutes, a perfect start. And then 7 minutes later, 2-0. A goal yet again. Yang had a lot to do with making a great driving run in the box. He passed to the irrepressible Matt O'Reilly, and his low cross was slammed into the back of net by Kyogo.
It's a very Ange goal.
It was. I was going to say that in our wonderful group chat that we're in with someone named individuals. One of the names said it was a very Ange goal, and it was definitely Ange. If we saw that, it would have been like, oh, look, mate, that goal would have been a wonder goal in any league.
Fantastic satire there.
Thank you. I feel a bit bad for Ange because, like, even I was thinking, even when he was at Celtic, we never conceded two goals in injury time, didn't we? No, we conceded a goal in injury time at Hearts in his very first league game, but we never conceded twice in injury time when he was there.
No, but we were the big dogs, and Tottenham are certainly not big dogs down in that league.
No, what a league that is, what a game that was yesterday.
Oh, I know, I was waiting on that.
Man City 4, Chelsea 4, game of the century, Ansi. But no, I thought it was a brilliant goal. Again, I know later on you're going to talk about how Aberdeen are shit. But I mean, if that goal had been scored in Ange's era, people would be doing cartwheels. I mean, I suppose yesterday, I think we need to talk about it, is the atmosphere. Obviously, it was hard for us to judge because we weren't there. But the atmosphere, obviously everybody knows the Green Brigade under there. That's a bigger story, but the atmosphere did sound pretty quiet.
Didn't really have an effect on the game, though.
No, it just sort of reminded me of a midweek game. Like, see, even when the Green Brigade are there, in a midweek game, the atmosphere's always crap.
No, I was thinking too, Brendan's got some record against Aberdeen. But I think he's won every single game other than the one that didn't matter.
The one that we
deliberately threw the game so the Rangers couldn't finish.
That's right, couldn't finish second, aye, so Aberdeen could finish
second. Considine scored.
He did, a man who scored loads of OGs against us, weirdly enough. He scored two OGs against us.
I think at 1-0 the game was done. 2-0, you just knew right away that Aberdeen weren't coming back from it. I think the only thing, Johnny Hayes ran through, had a shot off target, and they did nothing else after that.
We had a couple of sort of half chances, but none really that I can remember, like, great chances in the first half about for that.
I think we just controlled the game, and especially after midweek when we were chasing Atletico for like 70 odd minutes, you could tell that we weren't going to go full pelt, but we didn't need to. And I did say as well that Aberdeen just weren't equipped to be playing Thursday, Sunday. They were playing in Greece, they got a 2-each draw there on Thursday night, a couple of days of recovery, then they come to Celtic Park for an earlier kickoff. And I said before the game, they're going to be knackered. I mean, I totally underestimated just how knackered they'd be. Because, John, after 10 minutes or so, they looked, like, exhausted. To an extent, I'll give them their due. I know they were playing a high-tempo game midweek. But see, to be that puffed out after, like, 10 minutes or so, I thought that was inexcusable for a professional football team. It was fucking embarrassing. I don't care how harsh I sound about it. It was really embarrassing to watch.
That's no problem, though.
No, it's no.
Because of what happened that we're going to talk about in a minute, I've got no sympathy for Aberdeen. Aberdeen showed that they're no serious by appointing Barry Robson. And like, we beat Aberdeen. I think Aberdeen were even worse yesterday than we won when we beat them 5-0.
And they were hungover.
And in the last game of last season. Because they'd already clinched third place, and that game was literally meaningless for them. O scored twice that game as well, by the way, so O scored 4 goals against that Aberdeen.
That's right, so he has.
Right, so now on to the next talking point, and we're going to have to talk about good old VAR again, and those wonderful guys, Willie Colum and John Beaton, the dream team, the dream duo. As everybody knows, I mean, Slobodan Ribisic went in for a ridiculous sort of shoulder charge, sort of headed, aggressive challenge on Kyogo, who got a sort of concussion. He went on Instagram, I think it was the day, and said he couldn't remember leaving the pitch or anything. He got checked in the hospital, it seems to be alright, so I don't know.
You're a doctor, eh?
He said he's alright, so if Kyogo says it, it must be true. I don't know, I'd have my doubt if he'd play against Motherwell, but we'll just need to wait and see. But he's no going away with Japan.
Good.
But that challenge by Ribisic, who has been booked now 8 times, by the way, since he joined Aberdeen.
What, in the summer?
Aye, booked 8 times.
But let me guess, Robson will say he's not that type of player.
Well, no, but a aforementioned liar called him a... I'll need to find what he said about him in a minute. Why was that not a red card? In what world is that not a red card? Apart from the world of Scottish football.
Yeah, any other league, you know, that's deemed a reckless and dangerous challenge, no doubt about it. And seeing it in real time, I thought to myself, Christ, that looks a bad one. But then seeing it in the replay, like, you're actually wincing watching that and you're going, ow. Like, you can feel the full force of that, to the point where Kyogo is like, before Kyogo hits the deck, he's out cold.
They didn't even show a replay. Like, you know when that happened, when guys are seriously injured, they just like cut to like,
but it's
the
amazing
managers.
I've not bothered, you know, looking at any clips of it on certain applications of the social media variety, but I can just imagine that you've got every other Scottish football fan is probably like seeing that clip, calling Kyogo a dive and going nothing in it. And that's the problem as well when challenges like that aren't called out and they're just seen as fair game on Celtic players. And then of course Celtic get tarred with a victim brush.
Well, Dermot Gallagher said it wasn't a red card, which is just...
Is that not a guy that kids on his English?
Aye.
Well, aye, it's obviously the right voice of authority there, isn't it?
According to a lying Rangers fan, that Aberdeen player is quote-unquote a dangerous fucking idiot of a player.
Oh, he is?
But I think we should like put about £100 each on him getting sent off against Rangers, either at Pittodrie or in the League Cup final. Because it's stick on, he'll get sent off.
Def will give away a penalty as well.
Aye, for a challenge like that, probably. But they'll get sent off for that one, of course. I don't want to sound like somebody that writes a blog about Celtic, but Beaton and Colm are just horrendous. I mean, see, Celtic, I know we always say, why don't Celtic say something? But they should. They should complain.
Well, we didn't say anything when we get called anti-Semitic, so...
That's true. They should complain about how bad that decision was, because, I mean, we don't know how bad Kyogo's injury is. That could have been, like, a career ender.
If you saw that in the street, you'd be phoning Claude and all that, and I'm not being over the top.
No, it was terrible, and we don't usually talk about other teams, as you know, and this or other teams of players, but that was so, so bad, I just can't believe it. But thank you, the wonderful referees in Scottish football. I mean, no content with Geen penalties for just dives yesterday in the Rangers game. There are no Geen red cards for that. What a job.
And thankfully, we got a penalty.
We did, but of course, the referee, William Colm, missed it somehow, even though Ode did get kicked when he tried to get his shot away. And a normal referee would have saw that. Same as when we got that penalty against St Mirren, when Beaton missed the handball somehow. Brilliant referee. We did get the third goal, 77th minute. Lewis Palmer, his run up reminded me of Simone Zaza's for Italy.
Legend, the guy that ballooned it at the bar against Germany.
Did
you see that idiot Kel Roos as well, like trying to
kicked up the penalty spot. What an idiot. He got booked for that. That was actually a rare bit of sanity for you.
Really good penalty for Palmer. And as we were saying, John, the impact he's made. I don't want to keep lazily comparing him to Chris Commons here, but when you look at the impact Chris Commons made with his goals and assists when he joined, like scored in his debut against Aberdeen, I mean, it's like a 4-1 win, I think it was, a 4-0.
4-1 in the Scottish League Cup.
In the Scottish League Cup, yeah. You look at Palmer, I think that's his 8th game, that's his 5th goal, and he's got 6 assists.
5 well. Assists.
That's crazy.
I thought it was going to be O'Reilly when they first showed it, but...
You thought about the penalty taker there as well. I just really hope that even if he does miss one, we don't go chopping and chain. You've got to just stick with him there.
I know. So that was in the 77th minute, 3-0. And then we were in the injury time. Was it 9 minutes or 10 minutes injury time?
9 minutes
injury time. It was only 3-0. And then by the time we finished injury time, it ended up 6-0. 4-0. And who scored? The man you predicted, David Turnbull.
I did say it to you, didn't I? Message you saying when Turnbull came on, he'll score one of the goals. That, you know, a long range
shot. Was a pass for Palmer. But and actually was a good goal
see,
to
I
get it off the post.
I thought Ruth went down in instalments. It was shocking. Really, I couldn't believe it. Like, if that's only a competent goalie, that's never going in.
It was a bit crappy. The 5th goal wasn't crappy. It was all with a good header, a very close range header. Lewis Palmer, a brilliant cross. And tell the listeners what goal reminded you of.
Well, I posted it on the Instagram account not so long after the full time whistle. But it was a goal that Henrik Larsson, who's that, scored against Dundee in a 6-1 win. And amazingly enough, November 1998, Wibble got the ball out in the left wing and he crossed it. As I say, it's on the Instagram account for Gigpod. Just crossed it in with the outside of his right foot, right on the Henrik's head. Fantastic goal. I think that actually made it 4 or 5 at the time as well.
That game was
6-1. Crazy, wasn't it, against Dundee? But aye, some technique for Palmer. Brilliant ball in, and again, just when Ose headed it. Like, if you look at Roos, he actually jumps over the ball as well. It's a nightmare, that guy had.
And then the 99th minute, it was 6-0, and it was Matt O'Reilly with his second assist of the game. A brilliant pass from middle of the park to put O clean through, and like, he had options. He could have passed to James Forrest, but he just went and rammed it into the back of the net for his second goal of the game. Fourth against Aberdeen in his career, third goal of the season. And I mean, obviously, he's not on the same level as Kyogo, and it's no fair to compare him. But if Kyogo is out injured against Motherwell, for example, I wouldn't have any issue with O starting that game.
No, definitely not, and that was my favourite finish of the day. I think I love for the fact that he gave the keeper the eyes and he thought he was going to put it in the far corner, but he clinically slotted it past him. It was an emphatic finish. Finish for a guy that's full of confidence around that. It's great, because when we were in this pub, did a podcast after the Hearts game, will remember that was in the last 10 minutes he was so frustrated and missing chances, and we did say he just needs a goal. He finally got his goal against Mirren. He played very well against Ross County and he was unlucky to get a goal disallowed there, and then he scored two there, so he'll be buzzing now, and I would definitely be starting him against Motherwell if Kyogo isn't 100%.
So that's a three goals in his last three league games, I think, or three or four league games. So that's a good return. Yep, so 6-0 and we're 8 points clear. Of course, that is maybe a wee bit false because Rangers do have a game in hand. But, I mean, if we keep winning our games up until the derby, it'll be 8 points at least. Or it could even be 11 because we're obviously playing Hearts in December when Rangers have got that League Cup final. And I know you've been very bullish about the league, the prospects he's winning it. I'm a bit reticent now because I think we'll have some tough games next month. The schedule has got to be a nightmare. We've got big players missing. I mean, I've seen on an unnamed forum people are bigging up Mark Lawwell because Yang played well yesterday and Palmer played well yesterday. I mean, in home start, but it's far too early to tell how good.
Tell you right now, see on this unnamed forum,
yes.
Guarantee you if Yang doesn't step up against Lazio, it'll be a boom bust thing. They'll say he's crap and he should be out the team.
Well, like, getting into this break, are you as confident as ever that we're going to make it 3-0?
Yeah, I think this Celtic team, John, first and foremost, are full of winners still at the core. This round of fixtures is a lot easier for us compared to going to like Easter Road, Tynecastle, Pittodrie, Ibrox. So, like, we've got so many teams to come to Celtic Park now, and you look at our record at Celtic Park, we've not been beat there since the COVID season. Does that even count, John?
No.
Back in January 2021 against St Mirren, and there was even games after that. We were garbage and we still didn't get beat at Celtic Park. Teams will like coming there domestically, and even if we're not at our best, we're very likely to get a result anyway, John. So yeah, I think we'll navigate these next round of fixtures pretty well. But I just can't see this Celtic team throwing away the lead that they've got now.
No, maybe. It's still too early for me. I mean, I'm confident we'll win the league, but if you want, I'll briefly go through the fixtures. We'll come back. Motherwell at home, Lazio away, St Johnstone away, Motherwell at home, Kelly away, Feyenoord at home, Hearts at home, Livy at home, Dundee away, Rangers at home, and St Mirren away. Is there any of the fixtures you think that will be hazardous for us?
Just Rangers at home.
No, even like sort of Hearts just 3 days after Feyenoord.
Genuinely, no.
I think that'll be difficult. I think
I think
St Johnstone away and Kelly away will be difficult. I think St Johnstone's because Lovino will have like every single player behind the ball.
Come back to me, right, and if we do drop points there, I'll happily say yeah, I'll overestimate.
And I'm confident we'll win, but I just think like the amount of football is obviously going to have an effect. I mean, because don't forget we played Hibs away, that game that I thankfully missed, like just a couple of days after a midweek game, and we dropped points.
Just think at Celtic Park, we're a totally different animal.
Yeah, I always think we'll win the league, but I think it'll be difficult. I'm not as like doom laden as somebody else that we know, but about Celtic, I don't know if that's an act or a belief. If they probably does believe it, but I don't know. I mean, I don't think the league's over yet. It's far too early to tell. We still need to play Rangers 3 times, but I'm confident we'll win the league. Right, so before we go, it's time for our favourite part of the show, Ask Rizzo. The new feature where I answer questions from our wonderful Instagram followers. So, Stevie, ask away.
Right, John, the first question comes from Monty. Great guy. And he asks, who would your midfield three moving forward with Hatate out be?
McGregor, O'Reilly, probably Iwata, but I don't think that's going to happen. But that's who I would go for, but I think it'll probably be home. But that's who I would go for.
StuffCrust85 asks, what position do we need to strengthen the most, and how confident are you that we'll address it? I'm assuming he means in the January window.
With 0% confidence that we address whatever position we need. We need a striker, obviously, because everybody's going to be leaving for the Asian Cup, and Brendan even admitted that. We definitely need a striker. Really, that's what I'm thinking. But well, goalkeeper as well and left back. But I don't see signing either of them in January. I think we'll be signing them in the summer. But I think we'll sign a striker. I think that Danish guy, maybe get linked with him, a £4 million move or something. I think we'll maybe sign him, but no, I'm not confident that we'll address the issues that we've got in the squad, because we never do.
What do you think of the situation with the Green Brigade?
Well, it'd be good if everybody came together in a Celtic family, but that's not going to happen. I mean, it's no good, especially with the atmosphere, letting the games. I mean, obviously we won the air yesterday, but it didn't sound great on TV. I would hope they come back, especially with that game against Rangers next month. I mean, no having like an atmosphere that a frenzy in that would be weird. I mean, I know you talk about that 3-0 game in February 2022, what the atmosphere was amazing. So no, I'd like it to get sorted, but I can't see that happening anytime soon.
Sam Malky asks, is there any point in VAR after the attempted murder on Kyogo?
No, we should. Celtic should withdraw funding for it, but we won't.
Celtic Basic asks, can Celtic go and win the season unbeaten?
No, and we didn't even do it under Ange. We threw games away at the end of last season. So, as soon as the league's won, the players will just go into default mode.
Ollie P43 says, I don't know what he's meaning here. Ops on Perth? Opinions on Perth, does he mean?
A boring dump.
Do you like Perth?
No, there's nothing there.
They're good bakeries, though. Oh, but you're one of the veggies, aren't you?
Aye, no, I've not been in Perth for years, but whenever I used to go to see Celtic up there...
The Tesco?
Aye, but it's like, sort of reminded me of Livingston, like nothing beside the stadium. Like, when we used to go to Livingston, they used to shut like, everything, but at St John's Stadium, there's fuck all. So no, it's a bit of a boring dump, although they are supposedly building some museum of Perth or something that's maybe brilliant, so maybe that'll make it good. It's going to have the Stone of Destiny in it, you know that, so... famous Scottish thing.
Aye.
That's going to be in it. It's like a history of Scotland museum or something in Perth. So there you
good
go.
For Perth.
Still a boring dump.
McVeigh, 1979. What other Celtic podcasts do you listen to?
None, basically. I don't listen to any football podcasts.
No. You're quite ignorant that way, ain't you?
Thank you.
You don't really listen back to the gig pods, don't you?
Exactly. No, I don't listen to any football podcasts at all.
Sean Cass, best boozer in Glasgow, out with Molly Malone's, of course.
I like The Hall.
What, down at Circle Hill Street?
Aye, they showed Rat. They showed darts though. On the telly, that's one of the few places that we go in and ask and they show darts. Nice and Sleazy's is good as well because they've started selling my favourite drink, Pabst Blue Ribbon and Draft, would you believe? So that's good as well. None in Maryhill or Somerston though. O'Neill's is good.
One of your pals loved the one in Merchant City, didn't he?
I like that one too.
The Green Blazers kill me. What about CCV and Grace's?
That was a weird one.
Very.
Does that mean he's going to leave to go to Saudi Arabia in the January transfer window?
Probably take one of Powell's black cards for that as well, no doubt.
Yeah, we won't name him.
No, we will not.
No, I mean, the black card for Grace is a low point. That was a low point when we found out about that. But O'Neill was as good, like, for a Celtic celebration. Like, we went there after the... No, we went there to watch his Rangers semi-final. And me, you, and someone who won't be named... But my cousin was, I know this is a tangent, but my cousin said so she couldn't understand how like Milton City's turned into like Celtic pub land.
It never used to be, did it though?
No, now like practically every, well apart from one, every pub down there is like major Celtic, and if we win the league, I bet in fact if we beat Rangers in December, people will go down there to celebrate again.
No, not in December.
I know. The pubs will be mobbed.
Oh, the pubs?
Aye. I
thought you meant like a street
party or something. No, that'll happen when Rangers win the League Cup. I bet they don't. But no, definitely the ones that I mentioned are my favourites. Okay, so that's the end of Ask Reedzo and that's the end of the pod. So Stevie, thank you for doing this when you're so ill. What a legend, Joe. Obviously there's no Celtic next week. What are our plans? When's the next pod? I'll let you decide live on air.
I don't know. Let me just see if I can get through the next couple of days, John, without feeling like this. I'll think of a plan for the pod.
Yes, we will be back sooner rather than later, of course. And we will be back non-stop. Probably between noon.
All right, Ange.
Oh, look, mate. There's loads of great podcasts, but none are as good as GigPod. Right, so you can catch us in all the usual places where you listen to podcasts. Don't forget to like and subscribe. That's the most important part. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all the other places that you listen to is. And you catch Stevie on Instagram at GigPod, not Threads though, because nobody bothers with that website. And we will be back sooner rather than later. We'll be back, if we're not back next week, we'll be back after the Motherwell game and we'll have loads of pods like to deal with the games we've got between now and Christmas. What a treat for the GigPod family. And we'll have episode 200 today. And we'll maybe use that one to talk about how great we are for about a minute. Only two episodes away, so there you go.
Right. Anyway, we're 3 years old, do you believe it?
We are, that's right. When did we return November?
We returned in November 2020, but bear in mind, we did start in 2016.
Then we took a couple of years off.
Yes.
But now we're back in situ. 200 episodes, my God. We should buy ourselves a cake for that.
Got to wonder, don't you? What is wrong with people that they give us this much attention?
I know. But the fact, what would we do without them?
It's a mental health crisis.
They're there and they're always there. Right, so you know what to do, of course. Subscribe, Don't forget to subscribe. Leave us reviews as well. I know we've had some reviews recently telling us that we're good on Apple Podcasts, so thanks for that. And we will be back sooner rather than later. Right, thanks to everybody for listening. We'll speak to you all soon. Extra special thanks for Stevie getting out his sick bed. And hail, hail.
Podcast Network.